The healthcare detective Frank Lalle has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lalle is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He joins us when he can, and this is when the intro changes because most people will remember that we have a sideshow called The Health Detective on the Case, his own, because Frank was in a clinical trial at UPenn. So, Frank is not quite at UPenn. He's in Rittenhouse. Well, he's centrally located in beautiful downtown Philadelphia, and he is going to tell us what's going on. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how you doing? I'm actually in the Rittenhouse. It's actually the Rittenhouse Hotel.
Is it not in Rittenhouse Square?
It's absolutely right on the square. We've got a room overlooking Rittenhouse Square, and they've been very nice to me and set me up for this conversation in another room that overlooks downtown Philly, which, by the way, is booming.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, have you wandered over to Freeman's Auction House?
I have not. But that sounds like something we might do today.
Yeah. Philadelphia is actually an unsung song that... go on.
Kids are moving. No. Yeah. Young people are moving here. I think you're right in a bigger sense, but a lot of people know about it, and there's actually a net out migration from New York City down to Philadelphia.
Right.
There are great restaurants here, wonderful housing stock. The prices are, I'd say, 25% less than you'd expect in New York City if you go into a department store or the restaurants or even the hotels are great. So anyway, we love Philly, and I'm here a lot because of my clinical trial that started actually 19 months ago. This is an immunotherapy cutting-edge trial. So I've had a blood cancer, as I think the listeners might remember now, for just about 10 years, and we've kept it under control. And 19 months ago, I needed some heroic intervention, and I was able to get into the clinical trial at the University of Pennsylvania, where they took my cells, the ones that fight our diseases best of all, they're called T cells, took it to a lab. And at the lab, they reprogrammed my own cells, my living cells, so that they are weaponized against a protein that sits on top of my cancer cells and camouflages it from my normal immune system. So my normal immune system just slides on by, and the cancer cells have a party. The T cell, reprogrammed T cells, hate the protein sitting on top of the cells, and they essentially just drill down into the cancer cell and explode it. it's science fiction stuff. It's very cutting edge. I am one of the very lucky ones out of this trial of 20. I am now at 19 months in complete remission, which I call remish. don't want to push my luck. There is one other person who went 2.5 years before he had a relapse, and then there's one ahead of me now that's getting close to 2 years. So every 3 months or so, I have to come down. It's part of the follow-up, and it's routine. But yesterday, I had a PET scan head to toe because my cancer has now gotten to the point, it sort of jumped the walls out of my stem cell, out of my bone marrow, and jumped it and has caused numerous tumors in my body. If they grew, it would be a problem. So the last PET scan I had showed absolutely no cancerous activity from those tumors. They've dried up like little raisins, and they're not bothering me at all. And now this PET scan that I will get the results on later today, I don't have them right now, but we're optimistic that they're going to be fine, is to check whether or not there's been any cancerous activity or not. As I say, I'm optimistic, and so are the doctors. Based on the blood work they did yesterday, they didn't see any markers that would indicate problems. But, of course, we will have to look at the results. So that's where I am, Jill. And so I'm happy to answer any of your questions about clinical trials or the state of immune.
All right, so here we go.
Therapy, how close we are to new drugs that promise actual cures for cancers, whatever you think your listeners would love to hear.
And yours. Okay, so
yeah,
starting from scratch. When this trial, I understand the trial is at UPenn. Which drug company, do you have to stick with a specific drug company for a trial?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, this is underwritten by Novartis, a big Swiss-based, actually, drug company. And they control the trial. Now, they're essentially financing these geniuses at the University of Pennsylvania, led by a guy named Carl June. And June has been working for the last 25 years on this theory that he could reprogram T cells. And along came Novartis with a chunk of money that allowed him to go ahead with a whole series of trials that actually cured some of the childhood leukemia for patients back 8-10 years ago. And with that success, they're thinking that this related disease, multiple myeloma, another blood cancer, maybe some of those same techniques or even some of those same drugs slightly tweaked could work. So yeah, Novartis puts up the money. And here's one of the things, and we've talked about this in the past, one of the problems with drug research and clinical trials, though they're saving lives, hey, I'm here.
Because you are here
waving
to,
my hand.
Right.
But the problem is that we underfund the National Institutes of Health. That's the government research arm for anything having to do with health and disease. We underfund that as a nation. And as a result, we don't underwrite enough clinical trials by the government. And well, that's important because the discoveries from NIH trials are shared 100% with the research community around the globe. Everybody knows what we just discovered, and they can build on it. When it is privately funded, like Novartis, hey, they're proprietary companies. They're putting up a lot of money. They're trying to develop a drug that'd be worth, or drugs that are worth billions of dollars, and they don't want to share the secrets. That's not. They share some information for sure. They go to all conferences and say they've discovered this and that, but not everything. And if you talk to people, nonprofit, who are trying to fight cancer and finally cure numbers of cancers, they're very upset about this trend. So, and our good friend President Trump is, if he had his way, would actually cut the NIH budget by 20-25%. It's considered like a success if Congress keeps the budget at the stated level that we have now, which is, by the way, something like, if you put inflation in there, something like 20% less than it was 25 years ago. It's nonsense, and not enough politicians are talking about it because we've got so much else to talk about.
Yeah, but also there's a lot of money in there that... and this is what I wanted to ask you about. Who is paying Novartis for your trial?
No one is paying Novartis. Novartis is putting up the money.
I understand. They're paying the bills. Yeah. But who's who, so? Is this cover?
What you're talking about? Individual me?
Yeah,
and the
you.
Other people in the trial. Okay. This is no cost, and this is the way it works on trials at this level in cancer, backed by these pharmaceutical companies and others. The trials are no cost to the participants. We are all volunteers. This is not a placebo deal, okay? Everybody, there were 20 in this trial, and we were all very sick. And we weren't getting, they weren't testing whether one medicine works better than another. They were testing what dosage level of the medicine they're interested in works. So they kept increasing the dosage as they went along in the trial, as they had success. The more you can tolerate, in this trial at least, the more you can tolerate, the better the results. I was very lucky. I was the 20th, and I got the full dose. And I tolerated it, even though I had fevers for something like 24 of the next 26 days once the fever started. That, by the way, was a good sign. It meant that the medicine was working, disrupting my system, causing inflammation and fevers. But hey, the medicine was working.
Right. So, and I just want to interject at this moment.
I do have to cover hotels, my hotel bill and any food or travel. That's not covered. That's a problem. It's not necessarily a problem for me. I've got the means to do it, but it's a problem in general with trials, because people could use the trial. They would qualify in age and the state of their disease and their symptoms, but they don't have the money
to
for
do
the
it.
Travel or the hotels or the food. And, you know, it's a very selective process.
Right. And I was going to just interject to say that we have, from Frank's trial, we've got all of the shows that you did literally during the trial, which may be of interest to anyone dealing with this. And you had said back when that if you, because this was serious, kids. This was not, you know, it's great to talk about now on the other end of it. But right. As it was happening, it was pretty terrifying,
well,
frankly.
I was running out of options. I needed to get into the trial.
You were going to go to China, and that's my point.
Yes. There are very few of these trials. My main oncology doctors are up in New York City, where I have a house, and we were making this in Memorial Sloan Kettering, this great cancer hospital. And I have a great doctor there, Sergio Garalt, and we were making phone calls all over the country trying to find a trial, all the way out to Texas, out to Seattle, looking for a trial opening. There were no openings for me. And we were down to the University of Pennsylvania, and one slot left and three people who qualifying for it, including me, so no guarantee I'd get in. And we were discussing, if I didn't get into University of Pennsylvania, maybe I could buy my way into a trial in Beijing. That I would have had to pay out of my own pocket, let alone go there and stay for more than a month. But I was down to that as an option, because the disease was out of control.
And that's, you know, again, that just speaks to the level of resources that that one needs to
deal with. I mean, the bottom line, Jill, is that many people die waiting to get into trials. They can't find them. Another reason that the NIH ought to be funded at a much higher level, that budget ought to be double. And the amount of trials that it's underwriting, there's something like 80% of the cancer trials in the country now are underwritten by private enterprise. It should be flipped. It should at least be 50-50. I'm not the only one saying this. I mean, this is what the experts are telling me. So it is a real problem. And even though we're making progress with these trials, we don't have a concrete cure yet. For you can get into the trial. It can work for you as it worked for me. It could even work in the instances of with a childhood leukemia that I talked about, where 6-year-olds with a week to live are now vibrant 14-year-olds, and ostensibly we think they're cured. Okay, we could be making a lot more progress if we had a lot more trials, and if all the findings were being shared across the scientific community globally. So we're in a situation where, when I wrote my book, Your Best Healthcare Now, and that was about two and a half years ago, the amount of medical knowledge was doubling every 73 days. Okay, what doctors and researchers knew doubled every 73 days. It's even quicker now. So we could be doing even better. If look at what's happening in China, look what's happening in Japan. The governments have gotten behind research, and, you know, there's no guarantee that the next great cancer breakthrough is going to come from an American company and produce American jobs. Look, Novartis is not an American company. Here I am in Pennsylvania, but I'm being underwritten by the Swiss. And when they get their discovery, most of the money is going to go back to the Swiss. So we're not.
No, this is an. This is yeah. What is it? This is a real instance where, and we're going to have to wrap up here. But the perfect is the enemy of the good, and but all of this needs to be discussed so that the benefits can, let's just say, trickle down?
You know, where I'm sitting, we get distracted by so much of this crisis of the day and investigation of the day. Look, that's all extremely important, but it's what's happening in the country is diverting our attention from very important things like cancer research and discoveries.
Yeah, and
we're distracted.
Well,
We're not focused on the things that can do the most good for the widest number of people, especially when you start looking into scientific and health research.
And
the cost of it.
And as a journalist from the time that you were a cub reporter, I would just like to say that some of that's on what now qualifies as news. And with that, I will say thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online in store. And we're also going to say, hey, good luck, and let us know the results when you get them.
I will keep you updated as soon as I get it. It'll probably be later today. I'll send you an email.